Well, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to, once again, Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Say, how much longer are we going to be here in this passage of Scripture? Possibly one more week, okay? I don't know. I do try to study, and this is kind of where God has had me parked for a couple of weeks. So whenever He moves me off of it, is when we'll get off of it, I suppose. But here we are. If you'll take your Bibles and turn there and also stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, please, if you're physically able. Here in Luke chapter 13, we will once again read these nine verses. I will read through them, and you can join me on the even verses as we go through Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. It says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, and slew them, think ye that they were sinners, all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So just to catch up to speed, while you turn to 2 Peter in chapter 3, we're going to just review just shortly the idea of cultivating. And that God wants to work with us. He wants to. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to be planted into His garden, into His vineyard. He wants us there. He's going to care for us. He's going to provide for us. The soil's going to be right. The fertilizing's going to be right. All these things are going to be there for us as plants to grow and to bear fruit, to do what a plant is supposed to do in that garden, in that place. God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to bear fruit and much fruit in our lives. He is the one putting in the effort. All we have to do is basically show up. Isn't that nice? He cares for us. He loves us. His blood, sweat, and tears have been put into this because He values us in His garden, in His vineyard. He's the owner. He's the husbandman. He's the dresser and the keeper of that vineyard. And how sad would it be in our lives for Him, first of all, not to have us as a plant in His vineyard at all. And secondly, to have us as a plant in His vineyard and not receive any fruit from us. Like the parable said in verse 6, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. What a sad statement. What a sad circumstance. So we know, and we talked about, that God took time because the dresser in the vineyard said, give me a year. Let it alone this year also. Don't get rid of it. Don't give up on it. Don't cut it down just yet. Let me have some time. And there, if you're there in 2 Peter 3, we talked about the saving time. that God is not slack concerning his promise. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We've talked about the time that God has put in to providing salvation and the long suffering of God, and how he wants people to be saved and gives them opportunity and opportunity and opportunity and opportunity to be born again. He works at it. Oh, he sent forth laborers into his harvest as well. Preachers and teachers of the gospel. Christians to be a testimony and witnessing of him in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Oh, God's invested time in salvation. He's invested effort and care in salvation. You know, when you dig about a plant and you dig up the soil, that takes effort. Especially in the gumbo stuff we have here in Texas. It takes a lot of effort. But it takes time and it takes effort and it really takes that patience and long-suffering that God exhibits to us in our lives. We talked about that. We talked about the fertilizing time. That God wants us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We talked about how God has provided absolutely everything that we need after salvation to grow in grace. To grow. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us the Holy Spirit of God. He's given us preachers and teachers and mentors and leaders. And he's given us everything we could possibly need. Every nutrient, every mineral, everything that we could possibly use as a plant in God's vineyard to grow and to mature. Do you think God wants us to be babies in Christ all of our lives? No, I mean, again, I just mentioned a minute ago, we're about to have another child. I know that seems crazy, but I guess it is. That's okay. But you know what? I, just like all of our other children, I expect this baby to grow. Yeah. You know what's one of the most wonderful things? When those little ones, they get out of the diapers and get on the potty train. You know, the potty train's a wonderful place to be. Get it? Potty training? Never mind. Okay. That's just a joke that I have, I guess. But we love it when that happens. Why? Because they're developing. Unfortunately, there's some Christians that are still in diapers. We're teasing with our little Della. She'll be two, February 24th. The new baby's coming, and the new baby's going to have pacifiers. Well, she still has her pacifier, so that's going to cause some problems. So we've been kind of trying to get her to. And I was teasing her last night. I pulled her pasty out of her mouth and said, let's put the passy in the trash. She's like, no. She doesn't want it in the trash. She wants to keep it. So we may have to still some more work there. But there's some Christians with some pacifiers still. And they need to throw them in the trash. Yeah. Oh, listen, I'm all for us devouring the Word of God. But there's got to come a time where it stops being the milk of the Word and starts being the meat of the Word. This was a study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to get past the milk and onto the meat. Amen. 20 minutes. Steak time. Right? I'm not going home and pouring a big glass of milk and saying, okay, I'm done. May I quote a famous commercial in the 1980s? Where's the beef? We need to grow. And ladies and gentlemen, I told you, we talked about this last week. Again, this is all an introduction here. God's provided it all. There's nothing left on the table, folks. It's all there. Just like the parable states, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. The dresser is doing the work. He's done it. The plant didn't dig about itself. The plant didn't go over to the shed and grab the bag of fertilizer and dump it on there. The plant didn't do it. He did it. For us. Now for today, we're going to talk about the bearing time. The bearing time. Everything's been done. That fig tree has been planted in the garden. That dresser of the vineyard has dug about it, has aerated the roots, has freed up the system of the plant so that it can do what it needs to do. The fertilizer has been added. All of this work has been done. So that verse 9 can come to pass. And if it bear fruit, well. Well. Oh, that reminds me back in Matthew 25. The one he gave 5 talents. And to the other he gave 2 talents. And to the other he gave 1 talent. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He had 5. He made 5 more. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Well, well done. If it bear fruit, well. The one that had 2, he earned 2 other. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Well. If it bear fruit, well. Because that's what it's supposed to do. That's what's supposed to happen. To the one that he gave 1, thou wicked and slothful servant. Y'all want me to do my chainsaw impression again? Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Many ask, why are we here? What's the point of our existence? Well, from the biblical perspective, it's to glorify God. It's to serve God. It's to please God. Not to serve yourself. Not to please yourself. It's about Him, not about you. That little fig tree was supposed to give figs to the owner of the vineyard. 3 years he came by. No fruit, no fruit, no fruit. Why is this plant here? Let's cut it down and put a different plant there that's going to give me something. Why cumbereth it the ground? Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 15. in the introductory message back in the first Sunday of January, we talked about this passage of Scripture. The purpose, the point of cultivating, is so that the plant can become more fruitful. That's why the effort is put in. That's why the time and the expense is put in. That's why the fertilizer is applied. That's why the pruning is done. That's why the digging is done. So that the plant can become more fruitful. Why does God even bother with you? One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Why does God even take the time? Because he loves us. Because he has a purpose for us. Because he really cares about us. That's why. Jesus said in verse 1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." Is this consistent with Luke 13? This is consistent. Why cumbereth it the ground? Let's cut it down. Let's get rid of it. If it's not going to bear fruit, why is it here? "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it." You say, boy, he really hates this plant. No. No, he really loves this plant. Hey, I told you all about the wonderful, beautiful peach tree that we inherited in our yard. Okay? I mean, I'm excited. You know what I'm going to do to that peach tree? I'm going to dig about it. I'm going to dung it. And actually, I am going to use dung. I've got chickens and rabbits. That stuff makes wonderful fertilizer. It's natural. I am. And you know what I'm going to do too? I'm going to prune it. I'm going to cut off some. You're going to hurt that poor tree. No, I like that tree. Last year it gave us almost 300 peaches or so. I didn't count them all. I'm just ballparking it. But it was a lot. You know what I want? I'm not really greedy. Well, maybe I'm a little bit. I want more. I want more. Some of you got to have some of those peaches. Would you like some more? Maybe. Yeah, okay. I got a few head shakes out there. How many of you didn't get any? You want some? Okay. We'll get to wait till about, what was it, July around about? I'm going to put the work in. The branches that don't produce fruit, I'm going to cut them off. Why? Because there's no purpose for them. The ones that are producing fruit, I'm going to purge them so they can bring forth more fruit. The whole point is more fruit. In the parables of the sower, some brought forth 30, some 60, some 100. Listen, if you were a 30 last year, he doesn't want you to be a 30 again this year. That first year in the parable in Luke 13, the first year maybe he expected, okay, it's the first year, I just planted this thing, I don't really expect anything out of this tree. I just want to get established and grow. Second year, two figs, I want two. Third year, I want a dozen. Fourth year, I want 50. I mean, he shouldn't be satisfied with none or two or three year after year after year after year. I mean, think about it. If all a tree in an orchard produced were two apples, we'd really have a supply issue. You know how many trees you'd have to plant to provide apples for the entire world? If they only gave two or three apples, they'd plant a lot of trees. There wouldn't be enough room for all the trees to be able to do that. That's why a tree needs to produce a couple hundred per tree. That's why when you plant one stalk of wheat, it doesn't just produce one grain of wheat. It produces about 20 to 30 of them. Why? Because that's what they're supposed to do. I see Christian, 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 Christian. We shouldn't just be producing one grain. We should be producing more. If we bear not fruit, we'll be taken away. The ones that are bearing fruit are going to be purged. Not because of hatred, but because of love. Because of care and concern. Because of wanting that branch to be successful. Because it's in Christ. Now you're clean through the word, verse 3, which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. Oh, you say, well, why aren't some of them not producing the fruit they should? Well, he tells us, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. He said, but I'm a believer. I'm planted in God's vineyard. Yeah, but we're not responding to the source like we should. You see, in the parable, the dresser said, let me dig about it. Let me dung it. Let me provide everything this tree needs. And he did not look at the owner and say, this tree will produce fruit. The tree had to respond to the digging. The tree had to respond to the dunging. As the branch grafted into the vine, we have to respond to the vine. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said, without me, you cannot produce fruit. What does that have to do with anything? Well, if you go through and read Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, that's to do with walking in the flesh or walking in the spirit. If we walk in the flesh, we're going to produce fruit, all right? The fruit of the flesh. And that's not what he's looking for. But if we're going to walk in the Spirit, we will produce fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. God wants us to produce fruit. He wants us to produce much fruit. And of course, the right kind of fruit. You understand that as we do what we should, and produce the fruit that we should, God is pleased with us. But if we don't, not pleased. It's still there in John 15. We'll continue down here as he speaks of the branch and the vine. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Here it is, is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. You see, God wants us to bear fruit. He's provided all for us to bear fruit, all that's necessary to bring forth fruit. You say, well, what kind of fruit should we bring forth? The right kind of fruit. We already talked about the fruit of the Spirit that we ought to bring forth. Love, patience, godliness, gentleness, goodness, faith, all these things ought to be brought forth in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians. We ought to bring forth that fruit if we are walking in the Spirit. If we are responding to Jesus Christ, who said He would never leave us nor forsake us, that He would send the Comforter to guide us into all truth. But can I tell you something? Even as a believer that has the Holy Spirit of God, you can quench the Spirit. And you can even say no. You know that plant that's in that ground? Even though the ground is dug up nicely about it and the fertilizer is applied, it doesn't have to respond. But it can. And it should. You know, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works that we should walk in them. Not that we would. Not that we're forced to. Not that we have to. But that we get to. Folks, we get to bear fruit. We have the opportunity. We have the privilege. There is an expectation for us to bear fruit. In Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Does that sound like a gardener or a husbandman or the owner of a vineyard or the dresser of the vineyard that wants the plant to be cut down? That wants the branch to be cut off and to be cast into the fire? No. Not at all. Well, there's some good words in there. Filled. Walk worthy. Pleasing, fruitful, increasing, strengthened, joyfulness, inheritance, delivered, translated, redemption, forgiveness. All kinds of wonderful things there. So that we can bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit for Him. In Hebrews 12, the Bible tells us, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." You say, here's that part we don't like again. That pruning, that purging. But again, it's out of love. It's out of care. Because He loves us, He does these things. "And scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they, verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." See, this cultivating, this fertilizing has an end. It has an end in bearing fruit or not bearing fruit. God wants us to abound to every good work. God wants us to increase and abound in all things. We read previously in 2 Peter that if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be a witness. We're to see people saved because of our testimony. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In Proverbs 8, wisdom says, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. You see, we ought to bear fruit, more fruit and much fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, I already mentioned this, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Fruits of the flesh are unfruitful. We should have no dealings with them, but rather the fruit that God wants us to produce in the Spirit, abiding in the vine, producing much fruit, utilizing the digging and the dunging that has been done for us so that we can produce the fruit that we should. I'm just wondering, how long have you been planted in God's vineyard? And let me furthermore say, have you been planted in God's vineyard? Are you born again? And if you are, how long? And if how long, how fruitful? Has God dug about your life? Has God applied fertilizer in your life? Has he come by and looked for fruit and found none? Found some? Or found much? Can I tell you something? This is not just a question for you, it's a question for me. I was saved in the summer of 1985. That was a long time ago. For some of you, maybe not so long. For some of you, you're like, that 1985, that was just yesterday. Feels like yesterday sometimes. Do you know, in my life, I can take into account, and with much shame, I probably have not produced as much fruit as I should have. You know, I can't do anything about that. Do you know what I can do something about? 2022. Don't live in the past and beat yourself up over what's already been done. Look forward to what should be. Obviously, God has granted the dresser of the vineyard another year to let it alone. And I bet you he's digging. And I bet you he's opened up the wagon, gotten out the shovel, applied some fertilizer down there. To what end? So that this 2022, you can produce the fruit you should. And if it bear fruit, well. Like Moses and Joshua told the people of Israel, there's a consequence. If You say you're going to serve God and don't. There's a consequence if you should bear fruit and don't. You say, well, I've been planted for this many years and nothing's happened to me yet. Okay. That doesn't mean that this might not be the last year. We don't know that, do we? But God does. He just wants us to bear fruit because He loves us. To bear much fruit. And can I say, at the very least, bear more fruit than you did last year. More fruit of the Spirit. More witnessing. More righteousness. More works for the Lord. Less of that of the world and the flesh and of sin. God wants us to be productive, folks. He wants us to bear fruit.